Welcome everyone to today's podcast. We are pleased to be joined by Stephanie Wamboi. Stephanie Wamboi is an industrial and organization psychologist with over 7 years experience leading diverse teams in the human capital industry. And she holds a bachelor's degree in psychology with a specialization in industrial and organizational psychology from the United States International University, Africa. She is particularly passionate about applying psychological principles to resolve challenges in the corporate world. She is the co-founder and director of Employee Wellness Assistance Programs at Nightwise Human Capital. We are very delighted to have you with us, Stephanie, as you take us through our topic today, which is exploring mental health in the remote workplace, with a special focus looking at how employers can safeguard the mental health of their employees while working remotely. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We would just like to understand, how has the pandemic changed the employment landscape, especially in Kenya?
Well, Christine, since really early 2020 or early last year, when the pandemic was kind of like recognized within Kenya, we saw a big transition in terms of the model of operations. So specifically for the workplace, many workplaces actually closed for a period of time. And so we could see that employees actually had to start working from home. And as per now, at this point in time, despite the fact that, you know, things are a little bit more different now, we see that there's a bit of remote working and hybrid working amongst offices. So the pandemic saw us completely changing our mode of operations in terms of work.
Yeah, that's true. And now, Stephanie, we have the laws in our country, specifically the Occupational Safety and Health Act 2007. Places an obligation on employers to provide a safe and healthy working environment to all its employees. And now, as per the law, with now the changed landscape in terms of employees working from home, what are some of the obligations that employers have under this act?
Okay, so employers are actually required to do an inspection of the premises in which employees are working from. And specifically, they're supposed to look at the plant system and procedures of work and ensure that they are safe and do not pose any health risks to the employee. And then they're also supposed to ensure that the environment is clean and sanitary, that there wouldn't be any kind of overcrowding, again, to avoid any sort of injury, that there's proper ventilations, probably in the rooms in which the employees will be working in, that there'd be proper and adequate lighting, just some of this basic concerns that would go into ensuring a workstation is actually effectively placed or prepared for someone to be able to work in.
So that means that we would be right to say that now, if the employee is working from home, their home essentially becomes a workplace.
Correct. You are very correct.
Okay. So now this presents a unique challenge to employers. Right. Because now they are not in charge of the environment that the employees are in. So in your experience, what are some of the practical considerations that employers can take into account when the employees are working from home or working remotely?
You're right. This is a situation that is out of the employer's control. But employers can ensure that, number one, the employees have the appropriate equipment to be able to work. So whether that be laptops, whether it also be in terms of Wi-Fi, just to make sure that they're able to facilitate their working hours as well at home. And then they're supposed to ensure that the environment is safe. As mentioned before, some employers do take the extra step to actually inspect the places in which the employees are working to just ensure that it's up to standard, that the seats are appropriate, the space is quiet and serene, just issues like that. Then of course, in terms of also IT, data privacy is also a big concern today when working from home. So it's really important to ensure that the employees have a robust IT system just to protect from any kind of security breaches, because maybe at home somebody else may have access to the machine. So it's important to also put in place very clear policies about the above considerations, so that the employee can clearly understand what is expected of them and how to operate from home.
That's very interesting, because I think even from what you've just said, the focus is more, even in our laws, the focus is more on the physical requirements and safety.
Right.
But what I'm wondering is, what about their mental health? Are there any express provisions in the law that cover this? Because it seems that it's more skewed to the physical requirements.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that up, because no, we do not have express provisions in the law as regards any other factors necessarily as concerns with safety that are not physical, especially even when it comes to mental health. Probably the only thing that the law does acknowledge about mental health is, of course, in the OSHA Act of 2007, which again just provides ergonomics at the workplace, that is the workstations, the equipment and work tasks that are adapted to fit the employee and employee's ability, including protection from mental strain. But other than that, there are no other explicit laws that actually cover the psychological well-being of the employee, and this is actually an area of great concern.
So in your experience, Stephanie, what mental health concerns have cropped up that you have dealt with or you know about from employees who are working from home, and what can they be attributed to?
Actually, the major concern that has come up with working from home is anxiety, just the anxiety of balancing work life and home life. Today, we no longer call it work and work life and home balance. We actually call it work life rhythm, because the notion of balance creates perception that there are two things that are opposing, and so you have to, in a sense, balance them. But then really the person is the same who works and who is at home. So nowadays it's called work-life rhythm. So I know that there's a great amount of anxiety that has arisen just from working at home, because you really don't know what time is for what and when to stop what. And then of course with issues like that, being in the home environment in general can be very strenuous. So we can experience a lot of depression, and we can also experience a lot of burnout, because now you have invaded your resting place or your sanctuary, in a sense. So now you can end up experiencing burnout because your resting place is no longer a resting place, it's now an office. So you can end up feeling like you're tired constantly. And then of course, just some of the issues to do with performance when you are working from home. When do I log off from the office? Do I, you know, maybe if it was a physical situation, you'd want to maybe spend an extra 30 minutes at work to prove something to your boss. But now what happens when you're at home? What time do I log off from work? And do I log off at 5 but continue working all the way till 9? So of course, you can also experience some guilt if you just log on and off at the required hours. And so it can be quite strenuous, Christine.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot for
employees. It really is. Yeah.
You've touched on a very important point about the line between ordinary office working hours and after hours being somewhat blurred.
Right.
Because of course now there is no that physical leaving the office.
Right.
So bearing in mind that an employer has an overall obligation to protect all aspects of the employee's health, what could you advise employers, what can they do to protect their employees from burnout and that mental strain that we're talking about?
That's an excellent question, because there are ways to actually be able to navigate some of these challenges and ensure that our employees are productive even as they're working from home. And the first thing that we could do is have a periodic assessment of workload. You know, now because probably you may not be able to see each other, it's really important to be able to assess whatever tasks we give out. We need to make sure that they are SMART, you know, just like the way we normally look at SMART goals, that they are very specific, they are measurable. Yes. It's really important to actually ensure that whatever tasks you're giving your employees are well measured within the working hours that they're giving. And of course, this is also something that has been coming up in conversations around us, is that we also need to put a greater emphasis on productivity as opposed to working hours, quantity, quality over quantity, just to make sure that we are actually receiving quality work from our employees. Then we would have to, of course, review and clearly define tasks and responsibilities and what results are expected from now the employees, given the situations that they are in. And then we'd have to, of course, ensure that we are providing them with the tools necessary to cater for their overall well-being. Christine, you know, working from home, it seems like it's an easy thing, but it can be very difficult, especially yes. because you would be sitting down the entire day. And mm-hmm. so if you're not even having time to maybe, you know, prepare something, it's less likely that if you're working from home, that you'll go out to eat lunch. What does that mean about the diet that we are now following when we're at home? And what does that mean about our bodies, just given the fact that we are sitting home probably by ourselves and working? So it's very important for an employer to actually put in programs, if possible, to encourage exercise and recreational activities. Then we can also communicate. I think that one is just something that I have mentioned, but you can communicate clearly the expected outputs. Clarity is the power of clarity in remote working is truly underrated. It's very important for the employer and the employee to be clear on what is expected between them when it comes to task delivery. And then something very important, Christine, and probably this is to our HR, our HR liaisons, but we should completely avoid rewarding faster responses over better responses or longer work days over a more productive work day. Again, put greater emphasis on your employees on the quality of work, not the quantity of work that they can probably accomplish over a specified period of time. And when people give, focus on rewarding quality, if anything, as opposed to quantity, so that it becomes clear to your employees that it's not a competition. Let everybody just do what they're good at doing within the required time frames. And of course, it's good to offer your employees a form of flexibility just when it comes to even them, when it comes to specifically even issues to do with hybrid working, for example. It's good to be flexible in the sense that you can allow your employees to probably come to work when they are able to, and then probably take some days working home and some days working at the office premises. And then, of course, secondly, even when it comes to them experiencing distractions and challenges at home, it's important to ensure that there's provision for them being able to communicate when they have an emergency or a distraction from home that they just cannot ignore, so that they would be able to log off and actually cater for their needs and be able to come back and be more productive ultimately.
Those are very, very good and practical things that employers actually can even put in place. Right. And I'm so happy that you have touched on them. Yeah. And I want us to go to a very hot topic or debate that is in the working world. There's a research that was done by the National Bureau of Economic Research in the US, which found that the average working day has grown longer by 48 minutes due to remote work. So right now, there are countries such as France who have introduced legislation concerning the right to disconnect workers from overworking. So maybe you could explain to our listeners why the right to disconnect is so important for employees, and if this is something that employers should consider when trying to protect employees' mental health and maintain the, as you have said, not the balance.
But the rhythm.
Yes, the rhythm.
I agree with you completely. It's again about establishing an effective work-life rhythm for our employees, because when we ensure that our employees are able to cater to their lives in a rhythmic pattern, then we ensure that we are reducing staff burnout and overload, which would actually take our productivity numbers higher as opposed to probably quantity, right, as we were saying before. And then of course, you know, there's always many dynamics when it comes to an organization, including politics, and you know, office politics is a major thing that happens in organizations. If we are extending our work time, there are those of us who might be convicted to probably log off within the required mandated times, and then there are those of us who might feel like, again, I want to extend my working hours. So this will create a very tense organizational environment for the team, and then that will increase just dissatisfaction, employee dissatisfaction within the office, which can actually end up affecting your staff retention rate. Yeah, you can have a lot of people feeling like this may not be the best place for me to work in, because we have a greater emphasis on results than really on the people. And so, you know, it can actually contribute. Laws like this, when they are put in place, actually protect the employee's ability to be motivated, which is a key factor in people dynamics. It's really important that an employer appear to be concerned about the employee's mental health in these specific ways.
That's a very wonderful response. So, pegged onto that, like you have said, because of some people feeling the need to log off at the required time and others feeling the need to stay on, mostly this is brought about by technology, because nowadays now you are, as employees, you are accessible during and outside of work hours.
Right.
So you find that most employees are unable to quote unquote switch off.
Right.
So in your experience, having shown that this receiving and responding to emails after work hours increases employees, like you have said, anxiety and stress levels.
Right.
And having now countries like France legislating this, and other countries now are following suit. Do you see this kind of wave coming to hit Kenya or any other countries? Is it something which you can consider that will be here?
Yes, yes, and yes. At the beginning of this year, the WHO, the World Health Organization, actually shared some very staggering statistics about the mental well-being of Kenyans. Right, we heard about the fact that, number one, we do not go for help, and number two, the actual state of our well-being is very, very saddening. I think we were ranked top 10 within the world, you know, and that is in terms of depression rates, and that is a very staggering realization. And since then, I think I've seen a greater emphasis even by our government, just as regards covering the mental well-being of employees specifically, not only Kenyans, because I've seen some policy works here and there trying to be introduced just for the purpose of specifically following that. So because Kenya is one of the countries that was able to integrate remote working, I do think that, or I do believe that, this is a consideration that many organizations will have, just to ensure that they are not causing again anxiety and stress and strain to their employees. You know, emails can be very intimidating. Even Google actually shared statistics that Gmail was one of the most used apps, like it's one of the apps where people are actually in a sort addicted to, like you keep on checking your email every other 5 minutes, every
yes.
other minutes. And then what happens if your boss sends you an email after working hours? You feel kind of like pressured to make sure you've given a response. And what if your response, you know, now your response is going to be affected by so many other factors. Are you actually in the right frame of mind to be able to give an appropriate response to your boss when they are looking for you after hours? So I believe this is a challenge that, if it's not already being experienced, I know we are about to probably protect ourselves from. And Kenya should be at the forefront of this, because we are already aware that there is a problem with the mental well-being of Kenyans in general. So if now we are convening at the office, this is a great opportunity to bring our solutions even to those problems.
Wow, okay. I think we're coming to the end, and I would just like you, Stephanie, to just wrap everything up for us and sort of give your parting shot to employers, and just give us your words of wisdom. Close this off.
Words of wisdom is also a pressuring statement, but I will try. I think in conclusion, Christine, we have seen that remote working is actually, in a sense, here to stay. It may not necessarily be, you know, probably maybe I should say hybrid working. Hybrid working is something that many organizations are adopting. And so we can see that this is, at least it's a relatively good future in terms of flexibility that organizations have, and we can appreciate that fact. And so it's important to recognize that remote working is just a voluntary agreement between the employer and the employee. Actually, organizations are not compelled to completely have this as an option for them, but it's good that people are now aware that this is a possible option for me to be able to experience in an organization. So even when people are negotiating for work opportunities, they can actually bring up this issue of remote working or hybrid working. And that employers, of course, should always come up with clear policies, even as regards remote working specifically, that the location of work should be agreed upon. And if possible, employers should even send someone to investigate and just ensure that the premises in which people, these employees are working in, are actually safe and appropriate for them to be working in. And then employers need to have a very clear understanding on the working hours or the schedules that people ought to be working whenever they're remote working. And then they have to be very clear about the communication tools to be used. Right, as we've said, Gmail. If it is emails, then well and good. If it is phone calls, well and good. If it is messages, text messages, well and good. But then this needs to be clear that this is an official means of communication. Because now we see today many organizations are using WhatsApp also as an official platform of communication. So let's not leave these things to assumption. Let's all employers actually clarify what their official communication tools are gonna be, so that you're not getting a message from your subordinate sends you a message at 5 a.m. via WhatsApp that they're not gonna be able to log on, and you know, yeah, that will present another challenge of its own self. Then of course we did talk about the focusing on productivity. So it's important for the employer to focus on the work that needs to be accomplished, in the sense that this is the result that we want to achieve. So let's now work around from that. Let's work around from this is the end result we want to get, as opposed to I've given you this, figure it out, make it happen by tomorrow. You know, let's try a different way of actually looking at how work is meant to be accomplished, and then we just make arrangements for reporting on the work that is undertaken, to ensure that if it's a task that is gonna be lengthy or it's gonna take some time, then we are able to actually monitor the progress, even if it's a remote working situation. So it's important to also establish that, you know, if it's weekly reports or if it's daily reports, whichever it may be, just to ensure that effectiveness and communication lines stay open. And of course, Christine, it would be criminal of me not to mention that it's also important for employers to make provisions for their employees to seek for help whenever they feel like they've been, you know, pushed up to the wall. I believe that workplaces are such a dynamic place, and it's an excellent place for people to actually get real help when they're dealing with issues, even as regards their mental well-being. So it would be prudent for organizations to also have programs where they can allow their employees, or just forums that they can allow their employees to either see a counselor or a therapist, probably just to do some regular assessments to make sure that they're doing well, or even training forums for them to actually be able to learn more and be, you know, sensitization kind of trainings to allow them to be able to find out more about some of these issues that they may be in the dark about, and probably equip them better to handle them in future should they ever find themselves in this position. I don't think that there's anyone who doesn't have a need for mental wellness, you know. It's a big concern in our day and age today. Let's begin investing in this. A mentally healthy workforce is going to be a productive workforce. Yeah.
You've summarized it more than I could ever have. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for your time and your expertise, and for availing yourself to our listeners. I'm sure they have gotten practical things that they can take out of this. And for that, we are so thankful for joining us today. We've come to the end of the podcast, and we just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christine and CDH, for having me here. I am so honored. It's always a pleasure to be able to interact with you in this manner.
You're most welcome. So that's all, guys. Thank you so much for listening in. I was your host, Christine Mugenyu, associate in the dispute resolution practice, the Nairobi office. Thank you.